Okay, now it's my privilege to welcome our next panelist. Please help me to give a warm welcome to Annetta.
Okay, good morning. My name's Annetta, and I'm in recovery. I do both programs, and that's what I respect. But I kind of had a little resentment when I got here because he didn't tell me what time it was, and I got here at 8 o'clock this morning. And I'm sitting outside reading the 6th and 7th step, and it's about anger. And I had to let it go, and you know what? It's just what was happened. You know, I seen somebody else drive up here, then they left, and you know, whatever happened. And I'm still here. And so that's one of my characteristics is he didn't tell me. And then I had to look at my part of, did I ask him what time it was? No, I didn't. And he didn't tell me what time it was. But I'm here. And you know, I didn't come here. I came here through the court system. And that was the first time I was ever introduced to the 12 steps of anything. And I used to go to court every week, and they would ask us what step we were on. And if you memorize that step, we would get out of court, you know, easy. So that's how I first introduced the steps of Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, I did Narcotics Anonymous for about 5 years till I needed a sponsor that was older than me that had more time. And my sobriety date is September 24th of 2000. And my sponsor... I have a sponsor that has a sponsor that has a sponsor that's worked the steps. They're not hidden sponsors. And, you know, some people have a sponsor and you never see them, you never hear them, you never do nothing. But my sponsors are very active in the program. And I'm just going to tell you how I did the steps with my sponsees and how I was taught. A lot of people that I sponsor are in drug court and they just use my name. They ask me to be their sponsor and that's about all. And then I get the privilege to work the steps with a few that I have worked with. And because a lot of people in the programs that they go to, they do 1, 2, 3, 4. And then once they get on 4, there's a lot of character defects that come out when they do the 4th step. I've done the 4th step in a step working guide, and it was overwhelming for me. I did that the first 2 years. And then... the second half of it, I finally got a sponsor that I had to trust. I think trust was the first thing for me when I came in the program. So I knew my life was powerless and it was unmanageable, and I knew that. But the first thing is, I have to tell this woman all my stuff. No. So I found somebody that I ran around with, and that she co-signed a lot of the stuff I said because I didn't want them to know me. Because I didn't want you to know me, and I didn't want to know you. But after that program, I did it for 18 months. I did drug court, and something happened. I found a woman that I cared about, and I trusted. And we started going through the steps, and we got to the 6th step, and a lot of my character defects were coming out then, because I didn't want to. I'm very defiant. I'm going to blame you. I'm very angry. You know, it's really cool because I was listening to her about this positive stuff. And when I came here, there was nothing positive in me at all. Everything was angry, negative. It was your fault, resentment, all that stuff because fear. You know, I was reading the steps and stuff before I came in here because I didn't trust a lot of people. So when I came... I didn't do the steps, but I went to a lot of book studies, and we did the steps. And I still go to a lot of book studies because I like to hear how people run their programs differently because we're all different, and we're all on different beliefs, different higher powers, and that's what's cool about me. I'm very open-minded. And, you know, I have a higher power that's loving, kind, and gentle. Simple. Because if I start thinking, I overanalyze it, you know. I was told this is a simple program for complicated people. We can complicate it. And so, you know, when there's a saying in AA that says, think, forget it. Think, for me, is the first thing. Because if the second thought, I'm not going to do it. Procrastination is one of my defects. You know, a lot of different things. And I didn't know what character defects were when I came in here. But everything I said every action I did was a character defect. Because my morals and values as a child, was I taught right? No. Was I raised right? No. Did I do as... My parents raised me as best as they knew, and maybe their morals and values weren't right. But when I came in the program, and I got to be emotionally old enough to understand what my morals and values were, and then I had a choice. And then that's when I think steps 6 and 7 are the most important steps you have. So I used to sponsor people, and I would ask them, do you know what 6 character defects are? Yes. Do you know what shortcomings are? Yes. Well, tell me the difference. I don't know. And so I had to explain the difference. To me, it's a little different. The character defects are what I think, and the shortcomings are the things I can't get rid of, and I have to ask God to remove them, because I continue doing them. And a lot of people, you know, I would ask them, do you know the 6 and 7? Yes. Then I asked them the difference, and how do you do the 6 without knowing what it's about? And the 7th. And they said, you know, we would do the 6th step, and they said, well, when do we get to do the 7th? And a lot of people say, well, we'll do it another time. I was taught you do the 6th and 7th right then. You know, I have an AA book. I did the step working, this little group that we did in the 1940s, and it's very simple. But it was very confusing in the middle of it, and I'm very nervous. I really didn't want to come here. You know, I have a really busy day today. I have to go to a wedding, you know, and I had to send my friend home to get my clothes and everything because we were running late, and that big character defect of mine is I don't want to, but the program teaches me to do what I need to do. I don't like this microphone. I'm still very defiant, and I'm part of me running my program and changing my character defects is I am around positive people, and I believe that, and I believe that's part of our program is about. It is about energy, and I call them blue people and red people. The blue people are the positive, and the red people are the negative. And we all have people like that in our lives. And today, you know what? Every character defects, we have an access, and we just need to find it. You know, the main one for me was fear, and then I found about love. You know, my parents died, both of them, last year in the 6-week period. And it was really overwhelming for me, but I did what I had to do, and a lot of my character defects came out, but I didn't act on them. I didn't yell at you. I didn't blame anybody. I just accepted it, and I went on. And I found out something about the love of the program, and I've been here, and I got to grow through a lot of great pain in the program, and by doing the 6th and 7th and just doing the things I have to do, I got to learn something called the great love of the program. And I believe that's a spiritual awakening for me. And I was kind of overwhelmed, but I made it through it. I didn't expect to get up here and cry. I didn't even, you know, I tried to think, what am I going to say when I get up there? You know, I have her, then I got this guy, and it's like, should I even be up there? You know, am I qualified to be up there? And that's my character defect, downing myself. You know, am I good enough? Do I envy you? You can write very good. I never went to high school. You know, I had to go to Berkeley to get my GED. And it's not about that. It's when we come in these rooms, we're no different. We all have different problems, you know. And this is a open meeting, a 12-step program, so we're all really different. You know, when I go into NA meeting, we're an addict, and we're all addicts, and AA, you know, and now we're just a bunch of different people in a room. And and I'm thinking, is it 210 club? What is this? And I look in these Bible verses, I say, oh, Lord, you know, this, you know. And it's exactly where we're supposed to be. And today, you know what, the 6th and 7th, you know, I was ready to do the 6th and 7th before I really thought about it. Because I think the willingness of the program came before I recognized it. Because a lot of my program came really, really simple. Because I think if you're willing and if you're ready, you're going to do it. You know, a lot of people say, well, am I going to do the steps right? You know what? As long as you're going to do them, they're right. You know, you may do them differently without through the time you, more time you stay here, the longer, the sicker we get. I believe that, because the more is revealed. And today, you know, the my shortcomings, you know, Ponto was like married men, women, I like married men. And, you know, but we all did a lot of stuff. And when I came to the program, it was, I just stopped drinking and using. I didn't do anything else. I didn't change any of my behaviors. And a lot of my behaviors were my character defects. Even after I was here for a long time, my some of my behavior, manipulation, procrastination, you know, self-gratification, everything that was about me, and it was self-centered. And, you know, I was reading the seventh step about humility and being humble. And today, you know what, I just do what I have to do to stay sober, to be nice to you, to keep my job. And I believe that the 12 steps of any program can change you if you're willing to. And because what you learn today may not affect you till a year from now. And a long time ago, somebody gave me this something called the Installation of Hope years ago. Because I was the only, I was a farm labor person, and I was the only white person in a Spanish environment. And I felt out of place. And it's kind of like when I came to a program, I felt out of place. You know, what am I doing here? I didn't come here for friends. I didn't come in here for anything. But when you're working the 12 steps, and then you get to 6th and 7th, and you get to change who you are from inside out. And I believe a lot of people work the program, but they don't live the program. And there's a lot of difference. When your actions show, you know, if you're not doing that behavior, if you're not cussing that person out driving down the road, if you're not getting written up at work, I haven't been written up in 10 years since I've been working. Hello, that's just amazing. Because a lot of my character defect, my thought pattern is still there, but my actions, you know, my head will say no, and my mouth will say, yes, I will do that. Because sooner or later, I will connect body, soul, you know, the whole thing, you know. And today, I'm grateful I'm here. I'm grateful that I get the privilege to work the steps with other people, because when I work them with them, it's, I'm working them through me again. And it always changes. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday about the NA Step Working Guide, and there's a lot of different things about that. And now I do the AA book, and because it's really simple. Because I still want to complicate it. I still want to confuse it. I still want to do a lot of things. But, you know, and I believe that, you know, when I have something going on that, like problems at work, I sit down with this guy, and we do the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th, and I get it over with. And it's not 10 minutes, it's like 3 hours long. And, you know, I find out that it's all about her in the beginning, and at the end, it's all about me. You know, my expectations of other people. And so if I see character defects in them, basically it's about me. And that makes me even sicker. So I'm just thinking, God, is it ever going to stop? No, it's not going to stop. Because the more my eyes are open to my character defects, I know when I'm being wrong. I know when I'm being bad. I know now. And if I don't stop it, it's my fault and nobody else's. But today, you know what, I'm grateful. You know, he asked me to share a long time ago, and I'm thinking, God, I erased his email. And I'm thinking, oh my God. Then he put me on Facebook, and he, you know, gave me the address. And this is why, you know, part of my character defects was I would say I would go somewhere, and I never showed up. You know, and then I'm here, even though maybe I don't want to, but it's not about wanting to. I get to. And that's how I have to look at a lot of situations in my life, you know, procrastination, but I get to be here no matter what. And today it wasn't about trusting other women, because you can't give somebody something you don't have. And so today, you know, I have trust. I have kindness. I have empathy. I have all that positive stuff. And it came naturally, because I think God removed it, or my higher power removed it before I even identified it. You know, I think I identified it, and I'm just thinking, you know, I didn't really think about it until something happened to me. Like, oh, I didn't tell that person something vulgar, or I didn't say something mean to you to get self-gratification, because part of my character defect was being mean to you. And if you were crying, I was happy. And today it's not about that. It's about you know, I want happiness for all beings, even myself. But today, you know, I'm just grateful I get to come here. You know, I get to be a part of other people's recovery, and I get to have them in my life. And I have a lot of people in my life that love me unconditionally, and they love me no matter my character defects. And but through my character defects, my friends get to bring out my assets. You know, they get to show me love and consideration and kind. And when I came in here, there's not that many people knew me when I came in here. I was not loving. I was not gentle. I was not kind. I was not empathetic. You know, I wasn't, I had consideration. I didn't care about anything. I just wanted to get out of here. And today it's not about getting out of here. You know, this program changed my life. Changed my life that I never had and I never want back. And today it's about using, you know, the 6 and 7 steps. It's about taking back into your household and changing your household. Because the morals and values that I was taught as a child, my kids are changing. So that makes them a better person. It makes them a better spouse. You know, and I'm able to have relationships today, standing up. And a lot of people don't understand that. And today, you know what, I'm just grateful, Bill, and I don't like the speaker. I don't like to be recorded. I don't like any of that stuff. So I'm done.
And she did it anyway. And I'm thinking about how I can invite her to do it again. One of my character defects. Hey, our next speaker came all the way from Cambria. I hope I said that correctly. Did I say it right? Close enough? And I'm really excited to get to know her better, and I hope that you will be too. Please welcome Wilma.
Thank you for inviting me. He'd never met me before. He took the word of somebody else and gave me a call. Some people would refer to me as an old-timer because I've got 38 years. But I don't like the term old-timer. It reminds me of somebody that should be tanning gold and coming out, you know, with a little tan. So I think of myself as an antique. An antique is unusual, unique, and goes up and down. So I hope all of you hang around and all become antiques. I really do. Something I wanted to point out when I first walked into the room. By the way, if you want to do the math, do the math. I've been walking into these rooms for half of my life to try and figure out why the first 5 I thought, felt, acted, and reacted the way I did. And I know I've got many more years to go, as far as I'm concerned. And if you're a Catholic or a Methodist or a Lutheran, nobody is going to ask you, well, how long are you going to be a Catholic? How long are you going to be a Lutheran? You know, this to me is a philosophy of life that I can apply regardless of who I am dealing with. And I think that to me is very important to remember. They have one book. We have lots of books. And I'm a slow learner, so I need to come back, and I need to repeat it again and again. And I think that's why you hear the steps again and again. My mind went blank the first time I ever walked into a room. I had no idea what they read, why they read it. And I did ask somebody, and I was told there were reasons for the steps. There's a reason they're in the order they're in. Step 1 is for honesty. Step 2 is for hope. Step 3 is for faith. And it takes 4, 5, and 6 to give you courage. 7 and 8 is humility. 9 and 10, responsibility. 11, patience. And 12, serenity. And I wanted all of the above. I didn't know how to get it. But they did say I could do it slowly and do it one day at a time. And I got to, I realized I had to, in my particular set of shoes I was wearing, learn to detach. And that meant don't even think of changing him or her. That's what detachment meant to me. And I needed all of that. There were also things that I thought were goals. I wanted everything to be smoothed out. I wanted it to be smooth and even. I didn't like all of this. But when I refer to that, that also could be that of an EKG. If you want an EKG, you want it. Otherwise, you're flatlined. So there are reasons that things go up and things go down. But attending the meeting faithfully allowed up to not be so far up and down never to be as far down. And I know that I actually offend many people in Al-Anon. That's okay, that's their problem. Because I refer to us as we are very similar. My drug of choice was that human being. I possessed human being. He was responsible for how I felt, how I thought, and what I did. And I had to learn to remove that human being. And I think it's interesting because in the other programs, you don't need anybody to get there. We needed somebody to blame to get where we needed to get. And, you know, I was really very, very good at that. And I had to learn different definitions, such as the word responsible. I wanted him to be responsible for me, whether I was happy, whether I got what I wanted, and I had to split that word. I had to learn to respond with ability. Respond with ability to cope, and respond with ability to understand, and respond with ability to have compassion, because I didn't have any. And I had absolutely no idea that I was that fine line between having a disease and not having the disease. My disease took a different form. And I've referred to basically going through life. The alcoholic I was dealing with went through life with an anesthetic. The anesthetic was alcohol. I was going through life without any anesthetic. I was far madder, far more upset, far more angry than I think he ever was. I had little notes here, but they don't really mean a whole lot. I think the part for me was, why did I come and why did I stay? I came for somebody else. I came because I wanted to fix and correct. And yet when I got to the point of going through the steps and analyzing why, it wasn't for the him in my life. I wanted him to make me better. So that was going to be his job. He wasn't doing a very good job of it. But I realized, though, as I say, that I was very, very fortunate. I really, at one point in time, and I held it for a long time, thought I was better than. I wasn't doing what he was doing. That sort of thing. But when I realized I was doing much worse without any mind-altering drug. But I realized, too, that as I say, I was far more fortunate that I didn't have the disease. I basically tried. It just didn't do anything magic for me. And I had to remove that. And I thought one time I heard the comment, and there are certain comments that were said that I could always remember. You know, if you feel like you just got the weight of the world on your shoulders, and I did, try removing your halo. That helps a lot. But I'm trying to figure out why I even wrote down why I did. And I thought, I've heard the serenity prayer time and time and time again, and it's great. But I heard it a little differently. And for me, that's the way I have to apply it. God, grant me the serenity to accept the one I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know it's me. That narrowed it down. And I needed it on a very narrow basis because I couldn't swallow all of it at one time. It was too big. And I thought, in our program, we normally say, well, this is my qualifier. You know, as I say, it takes somebody out. And this is the only thing I've ever done that I was overqualified for. Because my grandfather, my father, and my ex-husband, and yes, I'm the mother of. And I thought that was a hard hat to wear. Real hard. And I'm very glad that in Allen they give us the 3 C's. We didn't cause it. We cannot control it. We cannot cure it. I wish her well. I really do. And I thought, my God never gave me a menu to check off what I wanted her to have. Oh, I think I'll have her fall and dark hair and, oh, by the way, alcoholic. She didn't check that menu either, you know. But for me, in order to deal with some of that, I have to constantly remember, not just with her, but with other people in my life. And yes, I do understand why the person identifies with their disease. But in my head, Trina, alcoholic, that is her disease. Nobody ever says, hi, I'm Parkinson's. Hi, I'm diabetic. Hi, I'm MS. So for me, and I have to remember this with all my heart, that this is a person who has the disease of addiction, but she also has laughter, humility, she can be funny, and she has all of these other attributes that are taken away when she uses the disease. Those are still there. And I, too, have been affected by the disease of alcoholism. It takes those qualities away from me if I willingly let that happen. And that's what I needed to do, was to understand, how can I stop those things from happening? I know there's a list of questions you can ask yourself. If perhaps you belong in AA, you can take that same list, and if perhaps you belong in Al-Anon, it starts out, does drinking ever get me in trouble? You know, do I ever drink alone? Change the word drink to think. Does thinking ever get me in trouble? Do I ever think alone? That sort of thing. And if you have answered yes to any of those, welcome to Al-Anon. Because it will allow you to decide what you want in your life and what you don't. I do not get, never have, and never will get everything I want. But I do always have and always will get what I need. And that was a real big difference. And I know that doing step 6 and step 7, you do have to be willing. Very willing. Nobody makes anybody willing. You either are or you are not. And I personally like to go over what it is you want to get rid of, and you really want to get rid of it. Well, then you better replace it, or you're going to go back to that empty, hollow, black hole. If there's a character defect that you have, and it does not serve you well, and many of them serve all of us well, because they allowed us to survive. We're not just surviving now. We are trying to recover. And there are different categories. Use what you use when you want it to survive. But then get rid of it. Reflect something of value so you want to recover. And they're different. And recovering can go back and forth. I have never, ever, and never will have a cake for my Al-Anon birthday. Because I slip all the time. Because it starts up here. You know if you've taken a drug or taken a drink, that's different. But I slip and I can still justify it. So it can be very, very different in my head. But something I like to do, some of you could relate to this, some of you may not like the idea. Hey, take what you like and leave the rest. I'm very fortunate. I live by the ocean. But you guys are fortunate. You live by some beautiful lakes and beautiful rivers. I like to deal with somebody when I'm working with them. And you can do it with the 4th step as well. Do it again. Do it twice at work. With little squares of paper you find in every bathroom. That and self-hit marker is biodegradable, so any tree huggers don't need to get mad at me. Go to the ocean or to the lake or to the river. Write the word or the name if it's an individual you're dealing with. You water it up and you throw it in the water, it is gone. and I work on visual. I need to see it gone. I need to see it disappear. If you don't want to do the water, try a little fire someplace. Those are things that allow me to get rid of and reflect with something more positive. There's a little list here, and some of us don't know what we need to reflect with. But it's just, if you're not aware of others, you need to be self-centered. And if you want to be thoughtful, self-pity. There are all kinds of things that we need to get rid of. And I think it's interesting because, as I say, many of the things that we use were in the form of survival. And, you know, hammers are wonderful if you're a carpenter, but not if you want to pound something into somebody's head. You know, so those are all up to us to decide. There was one page, and I did pull it out. I found it interesting. We, and Eleanor has three daily readers. The first one refers to the Odette book, One Day at a Time. Next one is Courage to Change. And then the third one is called Hope for Today. And that's primarily geared at children of alcoholics. But I found it interesting because in the very first book, very few pages in the back, if you can identify how you feel or what you want to work with, it's alphabetized. There were very few pages in the Odette book that even referred to 6 and 7. That's because you are not willing to change yet. They're in the second book. And there are many more pages. But I found one page that I thought was particularly interesting. It happens to be March 5th. I'll get that later. When I first started working the steps, I thought of having the character defects removed. It made me very nervous. I thought it would end up like a chunk of Swiss cheese full of holes. But I wanted to get better, and I was continually assured that the steps were the key to my recovery. So I went forward in spite of my fears. I had to take the risk and act on faith before I could receive the gift my higher power held out to me. Nowhere in steps 4 through 7 do we ask God to add anything, but rather to take away the things we do not need. I found that every single defect that was removed had been hiding an asset. I didn't lose myself at all. Instead, as I let go of the things I didn't need, I made room for my strength, skills, and feelings to become more fully a part of my life. I take comfort in this because it reminds me that everything I need is already present. But I couldn't be sure until I worked the steps and found some relief from my shortcomings. If anybody out here is like I was, I didn't think I had any shortcomings. They were totally justified. If he did that to you, you would too. You know, and that was the attitude I had. And what I did not realize. And there were many little tricks that I tried to play. I wanted to torment him. He happened to be an attorney. Not a good thing. Because most of the time he was out drinking with the judge the night before. They're not going to get mad at him. You know. So he had it a little easier than some of the others. But there were certain foods I asked him we would not cook. Because every time I cooked him and told him in the morning, thinking he'd want to come rushing home, he ought to have whatever that was for dinner. And he wasn't there. I really tormented him by leaving that plate, all the food, on the table so he'd have to look at it and feel terrible because he didn't come home. Well, he was usually running late. He didn't even go in the kitchen, didn't have to look at it, but I did. So there were things that I did that I constantly reminded myself of my own bad behavior. And it wasn't until I stuck around for a long time that I realized I needed to learn to love me. And that's part of your way to say, detach with love. It sounds like you need to detach from this person that's creating all kinds of chaos in your life and still love them. And I knew I couldn't do it that way. I had to learn to detach with enough love for myself to treat me better, to say on my thoughts better. I don't know how anybody else does it, and that's your thing. But I finally realized that in order for me to have more comfort, I had to realize that my higher power may have call waiting, And if I say I'm praying, then he better be listening, you know. Well, I might be on call waiting. He may plug me in a little bit later when I haven't cleaned up my thoughts. So that's going to be heard as a very loud and clear prayer. So I better watch what I'm thinking, because that may be when he's listening. And those are the things that I learned gradually. I kept going back again and again and again. I was very lucky. Pretty early on, some lady approached me and asked if I'd ever considered doing H&I. I gotta say, I didn't have a clue what she was talking about. I didn't know what H&I meant. And all she said was magic to me. It will make you work your program. And then she told me what H&I stood for. But that's okay. I heard what I needed to hear, and that was it will make me work my program. Wear somebody else's shoes. Have a little understanding for what they're dealing with and going through, and quit judging. And that was it. I was able to do that for 5 years at St. Jude Hospital. I think we're new to the podium. Okay, I'm leaning on the fifth one. I don't know what anybody wants, but I learned early too that the goal in AA was sobriety and the goal in Al-Anon was serenity. And I had to decide whether I was going to have serenity and maybe no sobriety in the house. And I could do that. That was my option if I kept coming back. That was the magic. And I really, truly feel it was an amazing privilege to be invited to go to open AA meetings. I was able to go to Laguna and hear Chuck C. Some of you have read some of his books. But to be able to be in the rooms with some of the people that paved the way, showed other people how to do what they might want to do. And again, it's freedom of choice. And I don't know about you, but I choose to be happy. I choose to enjoy my life. And I choose to keep going back. And that's why I say, nobody asks anybody in any other category why they do what they do as long as they do it. But I really, truly hope my babies are just about ready to beep here. I hope everybody sticks around and really becomes a very valuable antique. And thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you, Wilma. Okay. So what we're going to do now is go to our Ask It Basket for questions, and we'll have each of our panelists answer those. If you have any questions that you've been writing, now would be a really good time to get them to me. So, let's do that now.
Description. And when I, and then that has changed for me. When I first began working with Steph, I thought I didn't have any character defects or shortcomings. I just had, you know, alcohol, drug problems. So I kind of skipped over those steps. After all, they only had two paragraphs, you know. But as I began to help other people work with steps, I began to realize, you know, a lot of my character defects were things like what I thought was my greatest strength, and that was self-sufficiency and independence, and I don't need you or anybody else. I can do it all by myself. And that was holding me down, holding me back. And the best thing that I can ever recommend to do, once you have worked the steps yourself, help somebody else work the steps. That, oh my gosh, you learn more about yourself by going over the steps again. I got into the big book and really tried to discover, and the 12x12, and really tried to discover about all the steps, because I was helping somebody else do it. But helping, you know, the service work works.
Sometimes the things that we do are under the title of justification. And until we are openly willing to realize, whoops, I just used that in the wrong spot. Only then do we realize it's a defect. And until we realize it, and if we're not sure to use it, then we're not going to want to take it away. So what more are we going to be able to keep from the best?
I do work the steps out of the KA book, and because I have this other book that goes with it, and it kind of explains the steps a little bit more. It's just called the 12 and 12. And because I didn't understand what you guys were telling me, even those short paragraphs, because I wasn't very smart when I came in the program, because I didn't understand anything. And I need somebody to explain it to me in simple terms. And those two little paragraphs are really simple. You just got to do them. And then once I did them, I went into 12 and 12. And it explained to me a little bit more about what they were. So.
And now for the male perspective. I agree with everything that you said. Yes, Jerry, you're right. I would add just a couple of my own thoughts, and I do generally agree with everything we've heard. But one of the things for me, I think the brevity of the 6 and 7 in the AA Big Book really demonstrates a point that we've all been talking about, and that is that these steps are put in a particular order for good reason. And it's been my experience that, especially through the process of the inventory, but not to take anything away from the first step either, in the process of the inventory, I'm challenged to look for what we could call character defects or shortcomings. And so I don't think there has had to be a whole lot of extra work in defining those things. What I'm really trying to do in 6 and 7 is, well, in 6 I think I'm really maybe pulling those words out of the inventory and putting them onto a list so I can see them specifically, and then becoming ready, first asking God to help me be ready, and then, like Poncho was saying, if I'm not ready to quit behaving in a way that's consistent with that shortcoming, then I'm obviously not ready to have that defect removed. So 7 becomes just an important official step towards acknowledging my readiness to have that room. So there's my thoughts. Back when AA first started, Bill W. worked all 12 steps in the first few weeks of recovery. why do you think we take so long to do all the steps now? Is it because we don't stress step work and sponsorship in meetings nowadays? What could we do better, especially to work with newcomers?
Basically, it's going to want to. If you don't want to do it, you're not going to do it. And because I did do the step working thing in the 6 weeks a month, and it drove me crazy the first time I did it. Because I did it so quick, so fast. I thought my head thought fast. No, these guys, their heads really went fast. And but once you got it, you do it. But I think today's society, a lot of people just don't want to do it until they're willing to do it. And when you're willing to do it, it's going to come very easily, very quickly. And you get it before you even know it, because other people see it in you.
I don't know that I have a whole lot of comment on that, other than the fact that before they were ever written, he's already spent years and months dealing with the Oxford group to even create them. So I think before they ever got written, he was previously doing them.
Well, I recently went to Lithuania, who just got the big book in Lithuania. So I was asked to do a 12-step group. And I thought we were doing it really fast. I was going to be there 12 weeks, so we were going to do steps, 12 steps in 12 weeks. And I thought that was, you know, compared to what I've seen, pretty darn fast. Well, then people started to show up when we had already worked steps 1 through whatever. And on step 9, 10 women showed up. And I didn't have enough time to spend the next, 12 weeks. I wasn't going to be there that long. So I asked them if they wanted to work 12 steps in a day. 14 women showed up to work 12 steps in a day. So, and I saw it work. I mean, this is a powerful program, and I was saying, if you want to see some real changes in yourself, help somebody else work the steps. I think that's more powerful than working on yourself. I mean, you get worked over in a good way. And so it is about how you how bad do you want it? You know, you can do it in a day, you can do it in a week, you can do it in 5 years, but do you want to make those changes? You know, do you want your life? Do you want to have a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps?
I would just add from my own experience to two different vantage points. One is, as the person who really desperately needed to go through the steps, I was introduced to AA definitely well before I was convinced I needed it. And so I think a big reason for my delay in going through the step work was because I really didn't feel motivated, didn't really feel it was necessary for me. I could see how you needed to go through this 12 steps, but I was a special I love what the 12 and 12, the 12 steps and 12 traditions that Aneta talked about. The last part of the first step essay talks about hitting bottom and why it's so important. And this really speaks to me. It says that our bottoms are all essentially the same. And see, if we were to do a show of hands here, we'd say, well, how many of you had a DUI? How many of you had a divorce? How many of you have been to jail? How many of you wrecked a car? How many of all these different things? And we all think that those consequences of our behavior are what constitute a bottom. And the book tells us that's not the case at all. The bottom is the point at which I became willing to do whatever it takes to change. And that's, I think, a big part of the part we read about, that what a spiritual experience is. It's the getting to the place where we can now accomplish things that by ourselves we could not accomplish. The other perspective that I have on this is as a sponsor. I've oftentimes found myself frustrated with the pace at which some of the men I'm working with will work through this work. I have tried every which way I can find to get them motivated and to do the work. And every time I do that, I'm reminded that not only am I powerless over my own alcoholism, I'm powerless over other people's willingness to recover. And so I know that for me, I made it through the 12 steps the first time right at 12 months. And some might say that's way too long to spend on that healing process. And other people might say that's way too fast. And I don't know what that is. It just is. It's what it took me. And during those 12 months, I experienced awakenings. I became aware of things that I was not aware of. And I don't know if I could have rushed that process. I don't really know. That's why I said thank you. Oh, this looks like fun. Okay. Right now I'm living with a bunch of undesirables. How can I be grateful in this place?
Just look around. Start picking out things. Did the sun come up today? Do you have a roof over your head? Did you sleep in a warm bed last night? Can you take a shower? Is there food available to you? Do you have the ability to go outside and take a walk? You can be, there are so many things. Did you walk by a flower? Can you hear a bird sing? There's so many things. Just pay attention to what is. You get served a whole lot of stuff, and it's what you focus on that makes up your life experience. If you're looking at everybody else's character defects, taking everybody else's inventory, then you're not looking inside. And there's nothing that goes on in your life. Anytime that you feel shattered inside, it's because you have business inside to take care of. It's not about what other people are doing. It's not about what their actions or their words or that's just part of the serenity prayer. I can't change them. Give me the wisdom and the courage to do what I can do. And if you have any ability to get some people in your life who treat you with love and respect, do that too.
There may be a lesson God wants you to learn. I have no idea. But, we always have a choice. We can either be hateful or grateful. And you'll have to decide which one it is. And do you want to give grateful to yourself? Or do you want somebody else to give it to you? And I think it depends on where you're expecting it to come from. I don't even remember what I explained enough, but I realized that all my resentments were unfulfilled expectations. And I never liked that because I got to decide what my expectations were. And then I got to control whether I had a resentment or not. But there's a lot to be learned. You don't always understand the method. But I think part of that comes back to its self-confidence and self-esteem, not their esteem and their confidence. So if you have enough self-esteem and self-confidence, maybe you have to decide what it is you deserve and how you deserve to be treated. If nothing else, be grateful you're not in their shoes.
Do you want to be right? Or do you want to be happy? Or do you want to be right? That's the question. And you know what? I sponsored a few people that were in another facility, and you have a choice to be where you're at today. You made the choice. And focus on find something positive in them, no matter what it is, because you can't give somebody something you don't have. So if you have the negativity, you're going to have people around you that are going to post on your stuff. And I had to do it, because I didn't like women when you came in here, because you were ruthless and all this other stuff. And today I have to focus on the positive, they're kind and respectful and and all that good stuff. And I didn't like that good stuff because that good stuff hurt me. And today it's about my first reaction. I'm going to explain it as a character defect, but my first reaction when I would see you, something negative. But today it's not. It's something positive. And that's something God removed. Because I'm thinking, I didn't think like that. You know, last time I looked at that person, I called something else in my head. And this time I didn't say that to him. And I think that's, you know, the positive energy. You know, a lot of this, it is a positive. Just focus on something positive, something small. And don't even tell him. Because by telling him, or if you're something nice to that person, and not tell him. Not tell him why you did it or when you did it. Just do it.
That's right.
When I was living with a bunch of people I might describe as undesirables, was in a recovery home, and I thought I had to be there. I didn't realize that I got to be there, but I thought I had to be there. And there was a guy there one day. I don't know if you guys run into this, but you know, it's one of these group thing, dynamic things where if one person acts up, they cause consequences for the whole group. And so there was this guy who was just making me crazy because he was doing things that were costing all of us some liberties. And there was a guy there, and I'd been there maybe just a couple of days, and there was a guy there that had been, he'd been there 3 weeks. He was one of the senior classmen. He was getting ready to go home. And I mean, it was like there was an aura around him. He knew so many things. And he said, I was really angry at this guy, and I said, I can't believe this. And this guy says to me, he goes, you should be thanking him. And I said, thanking him? Are you out of your mind? I said, why do you think I should be thanking him? He goes, he's giving me a gift, man. And I'm like, what are you on? And he said, he's giving you the gift of acceptance, because you can't change him. And I didn't like the answer, to tell you the truth, but as it kind of settled a little bit, I got to see that, you know, how I reacted to him was my decision. And even though I might have to pay consequences because he did things I didn't like, I could choose whether I was going to be crazy about it or I was just going to accept it. I didn't have to like it. I didn't have to be crazy about it. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that the things that really upset me the most are the things that I see in other people that I don't like about myself. And so what I've learned to try to do is to take responsibility for my anger today. And when somebody else or something else makes me angry, I try to identify what is it about what's happening that I don't like about myself. And then am I willing to change? And that seems to make things a little bit easier. Not easy, but a little bit easier. Thank you. All right, I've got our last cards. If you have any last-minute questions, we'll take those after this. But this is the last card so far. The book seems to suggest that steps 6 and 7 are a private dialogue between you and your higher power. So what role, if any, does a sponsor have in these steps? I like one. I don't have the power anymore. So from my perspective, what my sponsor did with me on the 6th and 7th step was he helped me to see the things that I had been writing in inventory that I found to be objectionable about my behavior. So he helped me to find those things that I had already identified that I just didn't understand to be shortcomings or character defects. And he asked me to put them on a separate list. And so I took all of those characteristics, all of those behaviors, and I put them on a list. And then what he asked me to do, because I just didn't have any self-awareness, I didn't know what to do next, he suggested that I consider the opposite of those things. And he also gave me a list of very common character defects or shortcomings. That I could review, and I'll be darned, you know, by looking at that list, I started to go, oh, yeah, here's one I got. Sloth, greed, envy, you know, some things that I hadn't really thought of. And again, he asked me to identify the opposite of those things, and what I was to do then was to pray for God's for God's help to grow towards those opposites. And so that's how my sponsor helped me with the Sixth Essence. And I think Lenora's already said this, but I'll just say in my own way. I too have read what apparently Lenora's read, that identifies where Bill was asked. I think it was Chuck Steele that asked Bill this. What the diversity shortcomings and character defects were, and Bill said, you know, he just didn't want to use the word twice. And if you read the big book, you'll see he seems to be determined to use a different word. I don't know if he's trying to impress us with his word power, but he says many of the same things, but uses different words. But I have had a different perspective shared with me on this, and it was useful at a time. And what it was he said that the shortcomings were the things that I ought to do that I'm not willing to do, and character defects were the things that I was doing that I shouldn't be doing. And if that helps you put together your list, then I'm glad I mentioned it.
There's no rule. There's only one rule in the program. What's this rule? 62. And that's why Yoda said it. He said, well, rule, and if any. And because what I was told, why you need a sponsor, because you can't find your own character defects between you and God. You need somebody else in your life to assist you. Because I can write myself and say, that's a character, that's an asset. And really, it's a character defect. But, that's how I was told, because, you know, you can't sponsor yourself either. But, that's all.
It sounds like a surgeon trying to do their own surgery. This is a weak program for us as individuals. But I think it's easier in the long run to discuss it with yet another person, get another viewpoint. Sometimes that is a personal magic, and what was your part in it? And we would never ask ourselves. So I think it allows us to open it up a little more and dissect it a bit.
I agree with what has been said. In my experience in this program, you know, the women who have been in the program for 20 years have learned a lot of things. They've taken people through the steps, you know, many, many times. And each time you do that, you get a little more inside yourself. So to have a sponsor take you through the steps, you're getting 20 years of insight that, you know, if you try to do it on your own, yeah, you could. In 20 years, you might get there. But, or you could let them say, this is what happened to me, this is what worked for me, and you might want to try this. And then you just have like this whole bigger bunch of tools to work with.
Okay, so that's it for the questions I have on cards. Any other questions before we wrap up? I want to thank you all for being here today.